Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, everybody? Happy Friday to you. Welcome to the Cave Show. This is CLR. You know that's wrong with the music. You know that's how we down. That is how we do it. Welcome to the Cave Show. Hopefully everything is going well for you all. This is the Cave Show. This is PLR. We're brought to you by the one, the only Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. Located at Alma School in Chama Heights. That's 4991 South Alma School. Go on, get in there, let them know that PLR sent you. They will take 10% off of any cigar purchase that you may have. You can also become a club member. Get yourself a locker that backs right up to a humidor. Never worry about your sticks going bad. You can sit around and watch a ton of games while you're at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, as they also have the NFL ticket. So make sure you go ahead and get down there. They do serve beer and wine, so make sure you let them know that PLR sent you from the Cave Show, and they will take 10% off of any cigar purchase that you have. Welcome to the Cave Show, everyone. This is PLR. We've got a lot of stuff to get into today. The Red Sox, they're moving on. I know, I picked the Strohs. So we'll talk about that. Big news in the Valley. Mike McCoy released today, fired by the Cardinals as the offensive coordinator. Bad showing for football in the state of Arizona last night. As the Sun Devils lost 20-13, the Cardinals lost 45-10. So we'll get into both of those games. LeBron made his season debut last night. So we'll talk about that as well. Like I said, a lot of stuff to talk about here on the Cave Show. This is PLR. Happy that you decided to join some of your Friday with me. It is Friday afternoon. Boy, we all feel good. The weekend is here. Think about it. This weekend, we are full of baseball tonight. You got college football, pro football, the NBA, hockey. If you are a sports fan, this is your weekend. Let's jump right to that Cardinals game. Wow, folks. Wow. The Cardinals just look bad. Oh, and I apologize. Started off down the road. Forgot to tell you. Call the numbers 917-889-7828. 917-889-7828, that is the Kerry Lackey Law Line call-in number if you want to call in and have anything on your mind. The Cardinals just look bad easily right now, the worst team in football. And that's without having the Peterman play as their starting quarterback. They're just a bad team. Offensively, they look bad. Defensively, they're not that bad as 45 points would lead you to believe. A lot of times what happens is, and I've said this before, when your offense doesn't help the defense, no matter what the defense does, it is hard to get it going then. It is hard to then come back and get yourself restarted. We see this a lot down in Jacksonville, where no matter what happens, no matter what gets going, your offense, if it's not helping your defense, it can really hurt. It can hurt the morale of the defense. We're talking about a Cardinals defense that's been getting to the quarterback, making good stops, and it sees you after a while. And in this case, the offense did really nothing to help that defense. So when you look up and you're down 21-3 after in the first quarter, and then you're down 35-3 at halftime, if you're a fan and you stayed because you're just a fan. Because it is awfully hard to stay for a game like that. And sit there the whole time. Because the thing about the way this game started, Ty Davis 20-yard interception return. Emmanuel Sanders 20-yard touchdown pass. Offense gets a little something going, gets a field goal, like, hey, you know what? Maybe we got a little momentum, maybe we got something going. The ball back, 51-yard interception return. And at that point, the Wolves are 64-yard touchdown pass. Sanders from Case Keenum. Royce Freeman, a 1-yard run that gets to halftime. Larry Fitzgerald finally catches a touchdown. That makes it, what, 35-10. But then Lindsey comes right Philip Lindsey comes right back, 28-yard run, 42-10. And then the fourth quarter was just played because they said we had to play the fourth quarter. So, tough, man. It is tough right now to be a Cardinals fan in the Valley. And then they go out today and they fire Mike McCoy. And everyone knew this was coming. Look, you do not start out 1-6. Anemic on offense. Anemic on offense. Have arguably one of the top 5 to 10 running backs in the league. You can't ever get him off. You're 1-6. You haven't won a game at home. You're a minus 92 in point differential. And the OC keeps his job. Doesn't happen. Someone's head had to roll after last night's game. Had to. There is no way that your OC can keep his job after that. There is no way. You put up 10 points against arguably the worst defense in football. A defense that gave up 2 100-yard rushers back-to-back. And you can only muster 10 points. There's no way. They are by far the worst team in football. There is no imagination on offense. You still don't see David Johnson being put in space where he can work with and do things with the football and give your team a better chance to win. You still don't see that. You don't see anything from this team that even gives you a flicker of hope, something that resembles hope, something that resembles this team, if they do this, this, and this, that they can do this, 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 and this. There's nothing there. I don't know. If you're a Cardinals fan, it is hard. Because it's one thing when you say, okay, hey, look, we got a good young quarterback. We have a young receiver in Kirk. He'll learn more. We have David Johnson. And then you go, wow, but we have an offensive line. And, guys, I'm going to tell you something. And I'm going to put a little bit on David Johnson. And just in this fashion. Maybe he has to find different ways to hit the hole. So if your offensive line just sucks, you have to find different ways to try to make yourself effective when you get the ball. Now, there's not much more that he can do. I understand that. But you think back to some of the all-time greats. You know, I think back to Walter Payton, who played with a quarterback by the name of Bob Avellini. Exactly. His line had Noah Jackson, Reedy Sorey, Dan Neal. Exactly. Now, I'm not talking about the Walter Payton in 85 during the Super Bowl shuffle. I'm talking Walter Payton in 1978 when the Bears were god-awful. And your wide receivers are Ricky Watts and Kevin Mangum. And he's finding ways to rush for 1,400 yards in a season back, that was what running backs did. Not when there were shotguns. Listen, folks, there was a long time where Dallas was the only team that did the shotgun. And they only did it on third and long plays. And as I show my age, that's when the offensive line didn't fully set, then they'd stand up, look, and then set before the ball was snapped. It's actually kind of cool. They were one of the first teams that brought in an extra wide receiver on third down, two wide receivers on third down. Drew Pearson and Tony Hill and Preston Pearson and all those guys. But Walter Payton would find a way with the Bears to get those yards because he knew he didn't have an offensive line. And he knew he didn't have a quarterback to scare anybody. And he knew damn well he didn't have any wide receivers. They would really get downfield deep enough to really give him anything. So if anything, David Johnson has to do that. But when you look at the New York Giants, whose offensive line is dismal as well, what helps Saquon Barkley is you got studs on either side of you. In Sterling and in Beckham. When healthy, which is hardly ever, you have a tight end that can get downfield and stretch and do some things. So it keeps everyone a little honest. So that's going to be, but there's nothing with the Cardinals right now. And I love a power rushing game, but you know what? This just, you got to do more. So Byron Leftwich takes over for Mike McCoy. And I'm interested to see, look, everyone said, well, what is he going to do? You know, just because, and I said this earlier, if the milk is stale, just because you change chefs doesn't mean you can make a better dinner. But maybe that chef can find ways to use stale milk in a recipe that calls for stale milk. I don't know. But we'll see. He can't change the players, but maybe he can do something different. Listen, folks, can he do anything worse? Can he make the Cardinals worse than what they are right now? I think sometimes you get to that point where you're just like, can we get any worse? Does it hurt for him to try something different? Does it really matter if he tries something different? I mean, this is a team that beat the San Francisco 49ers with C.J. Beathard as quarterback. And if we really want to be honest with each other, And I really do, man. If we really want to be honest with each other, there were three plays in that game. And the Cardinals, for once, was on the right side of all three of those plays. And I bring that up is because they got the 49ers back again on the 28th. But when I look at their schedule, the Cardinals are a three-win team if everything falls right. Because after the 49ers, which hopefully they can get a win against, they go play Kansas City at Kansas City. So I don't even have to tell you how that's going to go. In November, in the cold, against that team, don't even have to tell you how that's going to go. Then they come home for the Raiders. Raiders suck too, so they have a shot. That's suck against suck. Again, that goes to the suckability scale, which I've talked about before. And then they go out to L.A. to play the Chargers. Then they go up to Green Bay to play them. And then they get the Lions at home, and the Lions are nothing to write home, home about, but maybe that's a win. And then they get to fly across country to Atlanta, play the Falcons, and we know the record for the Cardinals flying across country to play games. Not good. Then they come home. You're like, finally, after that, they come home, they had to go to the Chargers, they come home to the Lions, they have to go back out to the Falcons. They've had three out of the four games on the road. At least they get to come home, or maybe they can do something. Wait a second, pump the brakes. They get to come home and play the Rams. And then they go play the Seahawks. Now you're probably saying, well, wait a second now. It's the end of the year. Maybe the Rams will be resting people. Rams aren't resting people the second to the last game of the year. They're resting week 17. I got to rest from week 16. So the Cardinals are in trouble, y'all. And that's not breaking news. It's not making it to CNN. Not breaking news. forward to Tempe where the Sun Devils played. And, folks, honestly, this is the worst I've seen the Sun Devils all year. And I'm not talking about in their ability to play hard, because the one thing under Hermet was the Cardinals. The Sun Devils do all the time is that they play hard. They play hard. But they didn't look right. They looked flat. They didn't look like all the cylinders were working. They weren't firing off on everything. They just didn't look right at all. And there's some calls that were made that I just really didn't understand. I heard Herm say early that this is a team that's going to be aggressive. This is a team that's going to do some things. They're going to go for it sometimes on fourth down, and we've seen that. They went forward against San Diego State coming up to halftime, and that flipped momentum as San Diego State came down and scored, which made a game that was 14-7, 14-14 going to the third quarter. We saw them go for it again in Colorado towards the end of the game, but they were down by 7. They did get the ball back, but then they were driving to tie instead of driving to win. Then last night, going into halftime with a little over 2 minutes left, they ran a trick play with the wide receiver pass, which was intercepted. Stanford came back, drove all the way back down the field, kicked a field goal. Instead of the Devils being up possibly 9-3 at the half, they went in the half 6-6. Stanford scored touchdowns on their next two possessions, put the game up to 20-6. Sun Devils came back late, but then inexplicably, Manny Wilkins, ASU's quarterback, threw a one-yard pass at the end of the game with no time on the clock, with 12 seconds left, which, as you throw that one-yard pass, it's not in the end zone. You throw it from basically the 20-yard line to the 19-yard line. Your man gets tackled. You have no timeouts. Clock runs out. You lose the game. They just did a lot of flat things last night. And I think a lot of those things were done not just by the players, but the coaching staff to me wasn't as sharp last night. Now, we could all sit here and say, well, wait a second now. They got a bunch of bum calls and bad breaks and bad luck and things that should have went their way didn't go their way. And they had some interference calls and some holding calls back to back, you know, where the Sun Devils get a bunch of bad calls. And, you know, after the game, Herm Edwards said, you know, that's obviously not something he's going to say. He's not trying to get fined. But at the same time, you can't put it on that. You can't go back and cry over spoiled milk, folks. But let me just explain the way two of these games could work. You have a loss to Colorado in a game which you could have won. And the Buffs are a good team, but that's a game you could have won. You have a loss last night to Stanford, which was hard fought, but you could have won. What that does then, that makes you 3-1 in the Pac-12 instead of 1-3. That makes you 5-2 overall, not 3-4. And with the loss to Stanford, that puts a lot of pressure on ASU to go into USC versus a team that's playing a lot better and get a win. Because, listen, it's going to take a miracle for them to win in Oregon in their second-to-last game. Because they're a young team, and they finish on the road. They go to USC, then they come back, and it's Utah, UCLA, and then it's road against Oregon, road against Arizona. And if this team wants to salvage a bowl game this season, now they have to beat that Seattle. And then they have to come home and beat a tough Utah team. And then they have to turn around and then beat a UCLA team. It's not very good, but it's still UCLA. So out of the next three games, they've got to win too. And like I said, I'm not criticizing everything. And, you know, Herm Edwards knows more football than I will ever know. But I didn't like the trick play call. And I know maybe he didn't call it. Maybe his offensive coordinator did. But we know he approved it. I don't like that call there. Get the point. Take the point. In the press conference leading up to the game, Herm said both these teams, they run the ball. There's not a lot of possessions. They both average between 10 and 11 possessions a game. If that's the case, that's a points possession. I don't think you give that one up. Ask more at his press conference on Monday about that. This is the Cave Show. This is PLR. The King debuted last night in Portland for the Lakers. And, okay, so the Lakers lost. And this morning I'm hearing a lot about the Lakers, and I saw the game, DVR'd it, stayed up way too late to watch it. We talk about who played well for the Lakers, who shot well, who didn't shoot well, how they have to get him more help. He needs more shooters. Folks, we're one game in. We're already crying how he doesn't have enough help and he doesn't have enough shooters. And the only thing that gets me about this is he knew what shooters they had when he went there. And I keep hearing, well, when Klay Thompson is a free agent, that's just the shooter he needs. When this person is a free agent, that's just the person he needs. Guys, let me ask you a question. If you're in a good situation, why would you want to go to another situation to play with a person that's trying to get to the situation that you're already in? So Klay Thompson is with the Golden State Warriors, the best team in the NBA. Why would he leave the best team in the NBA to go to a team that constantly loses to the best team in the NBA and hopes to help them then beat the best team in the NBA? I don't understand that. What would be the allure for that? For Durant or for Klay? And if you're Kevin Durant and there's an argument over who's the best player in the NBA between you and LeBron, why would you go to L.A. to a team that's worse to run with the person that you think you're better than to be subjected or fall second in line to him when you already have what he's chasing? So we talk a lot about stuff, and we talk about rings, we talk about all these things. If Golden State wins another title this year, Klay Thompson has four rings on the best team in the NBA. Why would he go to the Lakers to try to help LeBron get four when he can stay in Golden State and, if everyone comes back, possibly get five? Why? And maybe I'm a critical person. I don't know. But LeBron had an incredible first half. But his second half was lackluster. Why do we always do that? And listen, I think LeBron James is the best player in basketball today. Before I get blasted about how I'm hating on LeBron, he's the best basketball player in the game. But how come we don't look at his whole game critically like we do other people? Just curious. Just asking. The Lakers are going to be somewhere between a ninth seed and a seventh seed, depending upon how everything shakes. See, 18 wins better for this team. I'm sorry. I don't see it. I could be dead wrong. If I'm wrong, everybody will tell me I'm dead wrong. I don't see it. This isn't the East where you could beat up on Detroit, Chicago, Charlotte, New York, Brooklyn. I just gave you five teams that you're going to play three or four times each, right? So say you play each one of those teams four times. I just gave you 20 victories. Right from jump, I just gave you 20 victories. If you're LeBron James and you're playing with Kevin Love and before it was Kyrie Irving, you know doggone well, even without Kyrie last year, with JR with his mind in at halftime, you know doggone well that Chicago, Detroit, Brooklyn, almost said New Jersey, New York, Charlotte, Atlanta, Orlando, that's seven teams. You play them four times each. That's 28 victories from jump. Now you throw in, okay, well, we got the West Coast teams to play too. Well, last year the Lakers sucked. Sacramento sucks. Phoenix sucks. Right? That's six more victories. That's 34 games. You can now go practically 2-2 with everyone else in the East and split with all the good teams in the West and get 50 victories. But no, buddy, you're not going to do that in the West. There are nine teams that really could have made playoffs last year. Then they missed by one game at the end of the year. Now you're already on the Lakers. Phoenix is better. Dallas is going to be better, but I don't know if they're going to be better enough to beat you. Sacramento is still going to suck. That's who Sacramento is. So in conference now, I don't have 28 victories in my pocket in conference. I don't have 28 victories I can go to and say, no matter what, I'm going to get those 28 victories because I have these lowly teams I can play. And then if I split with the West, then I can make up these other games. Those lowly victories are gone. You don't have Conspiracy Jones to push around Brother Jones anymore. There are no Knicks, no Magic, no Hawks, no Bulls, no Hornets, no Nets to push around anymore. You're not winning four from Portland. Well, you lost one already. You're not winning four from the Nuggets. You're not winning four from the Pelicans. You're not winning four from Golden State. You're not winning four from the Jazz. You're not winning four from the Spurs. You're not winning four from the Wolves. You're not winning four from Oklahoma City. You're not winning four from the Rockets. No, you're not going to win four from the Grizzlies. They just played their conference even. That's 30 victories, right? So count them with me. If they split with everyone, so you can't tell me now, well, they're going to sweep Sacramento because I just told you they're not going to get swept by any of these other teams. They're not even going to lose 3-1 to any of these other teams. So they just play their conference even. That's 30 victories. They just win one game and split with every team in the East. That's 46 victories. That's 11 better, but 46 didn't get you in the playoffs last year in the West. So I think everyone has to temper their expectations. It's a young team, and the guys that aren't young are old. So let's see where this goes, everyone. Let's see where this goes. Will the Lakers be better? Yes. Is it because they have LeBron? Of course it is. Best player in the NBA. It doesn't go to your team and your team gets worse. But they're not a 60-win team. They're not a 55-win team. They're not a 65-win team. It's not there. Speaking of jokes and farces, watch Houston play defense this year. That's a joke. Laugh at it because it's not going to be funny for them. The Red Sox are in the playoffs, in the World Series. Tonight we find out if they meet the Dodgers. See how that goes this weekend. We'll get a World Series preview next week. This was fun today. It was Friday. I love Friday. Love Friday. It's always loose. It's always fun. Good guest list next week. We'll make sure we have that up on social media. Make sure you're following us at The Sports Cave on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Go to thesportscave.com. Cave is always, 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 always with the K. You can hit me up at PLR on sports on Twitter. Until next time, everyone have a great weekend. We will see you Monday back at our normal 1 o'clock time. Thanks, everyone. Have a great day. This is PLR. This is The Cave Show.